It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yes, yes. Finger poke that like button. Sit back and enjoy, everybody. What's going on? Hope everybody has had a great weekend. It is Sunday night, about 8:05 p.m. The Sit Down is live. I want to give a special shout out to everybody who is here live on the replay. And for those that are not familiar with this Sunday show that we do, you know, here in my neck of the woods, Howard Beach, Queens, growing up Italian, Sundays, little bit extra special. You spend it with family, have a little bit of Sunday sauce. So no meatballs, no sausage, no pasta right now, but we could have some Pellegrino water and I will sit back and we will discuss whatever is on your mind. If you are live for the show in the chat area, if you have a question you would like for me to answer before your question, write in capital letters the word question. Not because I'm stupid and I can't identify a question, but it just stands out a little bit better. If you have a comment that you want me to relay to everyone, then just write capital letters the word comment before your comment. And as always, anybody that super chats, it's not required, but if you send one over, it obviously jumps to the front of the line, and we'll have a good one. Pretty quick show. Today is a little bit special for yours truly. I mean, Sundays are always special, hanging out with all of you, and that's not pandering or kissing up. But believe it or not, if anybody gives a shit about my personal life, today is the 10-year anniversary of dating Tanya, the now Mrs. de Blasi, 10 years ago today. Guys, gals, honestly, my feelings won't be hurt. And yes, maybe a wedding picture is not a great example of what we look like today because it's tons of makeup. And obviously, you know, we're dressed up, but this is us. That picture on the left is us 10 years ago today, October 16th, 2012. So what a difference 10 years makes. So do we look the same? Honestly, I think she looks spectacular. Still got that big forehead. You just want to just slap it once, right? Just go. You know, my 10 years, I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever like go up to her and say, hey, honey, I got to do something, you know. And, you know, she don't know not to, like, lay on the bed, but just once. Just once. Like, just take the forehead, go, like, really, really hard, you know? I'm not a violent person, everyone. I may smack myself a little silly at times, but do we look different? 10 years. 10 years. You know, by the way, for those living in Queens, the one on the left is in front of London Lenny's, but I tell you, as far as doing shows, oh my God, do you see that redness? I gave myself a good one just now. It's red. I know, it's kind of stupid. What a difference 10 years makes. As far as the shows go, 10 years ago, we were still doing the Mass Maniac show. We were still doing the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. We were still doing shows periodically with Mish. Pretty amazing. Audio only. Patreon was not even a thing as of yet. I don't even know what we were doing. We weren't doing anything to generate any revenue 10 years ago. But and to think about this. We'll move on. We started dating 2 weeks before Superstorm Sandy. Now, imagine you start a new relationship and then 2 weeks later, my mom has to move in for a few months because their house obviously got leveled from Sandy. I mean, it was crazy turmoil. And then, unfortunately, what happened with my dog and, you know, some health issues. So it's been a pretty interesting 10 years. I can only imagine what the next 10 years has in store. Not only for me personally, but, you know, doing the shows. I hope to be doing this. I hope there's enough good things to talk about that we do this 10 years from now. I mean, who knows? Who knows? I mean, the world of pro wrestling makes you sit back and think, you know, maybe we got to do that in an upcoming episode. We got to look at pro wrestling 10 years ago to now and see how much of it has actually changed and how much of it is actually the same. What is AEW going to look like 10 years from now? Will Impact Wrestling or MLW even be in business? Will, what's his face? Who's the guy, the actor that claims he's going to start a new pro? Just think about that, everyone. You know, who's the guy? I'm drawing a blank right now. He actually, this is why I'm getting bad vibes. Freddie Prinze Jr., I think it is. You know what? Look, I'm excited if he does start his own Fed. I really am. But I'm starting to get weird vibes from Freddie Prinze Jr. And I'll tell you why I'm getting weird vibes. I don't mind him commenting about the world of pro wrestling. I don't mind him giving his spin as far as what he would do here. That's cool. But to actually go public and say that he offered a deal to Bray Wyatt to join his group, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr., with all due respect, what fucking group are you talking about? Hey, Bray, sign this contract. We don't know when we're going to start. What do you think he's going to pay Bray Wyatt to keep him on the sidelines? What if the promotion does this off at 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, 2 years from now? You know, to even come out there and say, hey, we offered a deal to Bray Wyatt. And listen, even if he didn't specifically say that publicly, when 10,000 websites report that and you don't go out there and say, listen, everybody, that's bullshit news. You just let it sit there. You know, he's just as responsible. What do you mean offer a deal to Bray Wyatt? Hey, Sasha Banks, you want to join my podcast? I'm giving you a public offer right in front of everybody right now. You and your beautiful looking bronze hair, burnt. What color is her hair now? We're going to show pictures tomorrow, but people are immediately saying she's a redhead. To me, that looks more like rust, and that's a compliment. She looks great. If you haven't seen it, she has been walking the aisle for Fashion Week in Los Angeles. Her hair is more like a rustic color right now, maybe even kind of like a pumpkin spice. Maybe that would be the right way to put it. So, hey, look, everyone, I'm offering her a deal. Look, publicly, so when she signs with WWE again, and she is going to be appearing again soon for WWE, then I could say, hey, I offered her a deal. You know, she ignored me, but I still offered her a deal. So, I don't know, it's just weird. Like, why would you even come out and say that? You know, oh, Freddie Prinze Jr. offered a contract to Bray Wyatt. To do what? To do exactly what? What fucking promotion are you talking about? All right, enough of me, enough of my rambling. So let's get this going. Now, it is only fair because, as I said, anybody that sends in a super chat, very much appreciated. They obviously have to go to the front of the line. It's only fair. Big Sal, choose, thank you for the 10 spot, choose one person in the wrestling business and a podcaster. I don't know if he means two different people or somebody in the wrestling business that's also a podcaster. I'm going to get interested. I'll choose two that I'd love to invite on my podcast, Forbidden Door, but I know they would refuse to come on. As far as podcasters go, you know what? I honestly, I don't know. As far as podcasters that I, look, obviously there's people out there that I know would not come on. But as far as somebody that I think you all really would love to see me have on, and I'm sure some people are immediately thinking Dave Meltzer and others. I personally think if there was something very specific to talk about, I think Dave Meltzer would come on. I'm a supporter of the guy. I will never forget his generosity with some of the things that I had done in previous years. And I'm a subscriber to his newsletter. So, no, I would not railroad him. So, you know, but I don't know. Somebody that's a podcaster right now that I'd love to have on but wouldn't come on? Is there anybody that I would, like, really love to have on? I mean, look, JD is obviously, I'm pretty excited to have on. There's a few people in podcast land, you know, I would love to have on. And I think most of them would say yes. As far as somebody in wrestling, this is not a cop-out answer. one person that comes to mind immediately. And we could all by default say, you know, somebody very, very high up in wrestling. Then you know it would never come on because they don't do interviews with lowly folk like us. But you know who I would really love to have on in wrestling? And I mean this sincerely. Tony Khan. Tony Khan. I really mean that. Not to railroad the guy. Not to hit him with like some Ariel Helwani type questions. But I honestly think that there's few things about Tony Khan to pick his head about wrestling that would not be controversial. It would not be trying to pin him in a corner. But I think there's some specific questions in wrestling that nobody asks. And I'm sure we could also get into some personal stuff. You know, what gets his, you know, what gets him going? Like, you know, what is he eating a day? I'm not saying that those would be, but I'm saying like there's enough. If you know, if you saw the Forbidden Door episode with Jason Solomonster and Joe Cronin, you see the shows are very relaxed, down to earth, fun conversations, some laughs, maybe a little bit of disagreement. You know, that's what it's intended to be. It's not supposed to be like this, you know, really formatted, specific interview with hard-nosed questions. I mean, I would definitely ask some questions that I want answers to, but I'm smart enough to understand, you know, that if you try to railroad someone, you're trying to corner them, you know, you're not going to get any answers. You know, you show a little respect, you get a little respect in return. So really, I think I would love to have Vince McMahon on. I mean, that would be my ultimate, but it's not going to happen. It's obviously not, especially now, it's not going to happen. Lascelles Williams, thank you for the 5 spot. Move one person from NXT to SmackDown, one person from SmackDown to Raw, and one from Raw to NXT. Okay, someone from NXT to SmackDown, someone from SmackDown to Raw, one from Raw to NXT. All right. As far as NXT, I'm going to stick with this. Ilya Dragunov. I want that motherfucker in Imperium. Nothing against Giovanni Vinci. You know, the former Fabian Aichner. Fabian Aichner, now Italian, European, doesn't kind of fit in with Imperium. You know, if his name was Victor, you know, so, but it's Vinci. You know, it just, I don't know, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into that German. He seems like an Italian guy who was traveling to Germany. And instead, I want Ilya Dragunov to replace Giovanni Vinci in Imperium. I think Ilya Dragunov and Ludwig Kaiser would be a fucking incredible tag team. Don't get me wrong. Imperium grew on me when they were in NXT. There was many, many, many months that I just could not click with Imperium, and then it just clicked out of nowhere, and they became my favorite tag team. Imperium, I mean, no bullshit, is in my top 5 current favorite tag teams in wrestling, period. I how many times did you hear me say this when you were in NXT? Fabian Aichner and Ludwig Kaiser, you know, when they were still doing Imperium in NXT, I thought that they were better than the Young Bucks. Seriously. Because the Young Bucks are incredible in the ring. They're incredible in the ring. They do unbelievable moves. But the Young Bucks don't tell a story in the ring. It's like a video game with the Young Bucks. With Imperium, they tell a little bit better story. You know, just, this is just my viewpoints from it. So I would love to see Ilya Dragunov go to SmackDown and join Imperium and team up with Ludwig Kaiser as a regular tag team. As far as somebody going from SmackDown to Raw, you know, one thing comes to mind immediately, and some people might get mad at me for this. I want Rey Mysterio back on Raw. I mean, okay, you put Rey on SmackDown Friday to postpone the match that he's going to have with Dominic, which will probably be WrestleMania. But, you know, I don't want to wait till WrestleMania. You started this storyline very, very early. I want Rey to stay on Raw. I want Rey to have, I want him to be triggered, baited, teased, harassed. I want to see segments with the potted plant and the other Aaliyah. I want to see Dominic, you know, interacting with his family. Maybe Ray says, look, I can't get through with him. Honey, Mrs. Mysterio, come to Raw. Knock some sense into your son Dominic. You know, I don't know how Ray's wife would do. You know, Angie, you know, what would she sound like? Dominic, please respect your father. Does she even talk like that? We're not getting any of that. This is like, okay, let's put the storyline on ice for a little while. So I want Ray back on Raw. I don't want to have to wait till WrestleMania. Do that shit now. And somebody from Raw to NXT. I know some people are reporting that Omos is now officially a SmackDown wrestler. I think that's sausage, people attempting to make sausage. I don't think people put two and two together the other day and realized, ooh, Crown Jewel's coming up. We need an Acme Insta feud, Clash of the Titans, two giants in the ring. And we're not talking Brock and Lashley, even though they'll probably face off as well at Crown Jewel. I think Omos versus Braun Strowman is being done for Crown Jewel. Omos remaining on SmackDown, it's possible, but I think Omos going to NXT. I think him, you know, maybe building up that giant persona a little bit more, I think that actually would be all right. If not him, then, I don't know, Dana Brooke. I mean, it's not really much of anybody. You know what? When Dominic Mysterio showed up on NXT, I thought that was pretty cool. But obviously his character now wouldn't coincide with that. If Dominic was still playing babyface, I wouldn't mind seeing Dominic go to NXT for an extended period of time. I think that actually would have been pretty cool. So Fly. Oh, the Crown shows up. Very cool. Can I give you a wild wrestling prediction 10 years from now? A wild wrestling prediction 10 years from now. Okay. WWE will be sold. And I think it could happen much sooner. If the price is right, I think anybody could be sold. I think WWE down the line, if I'm not saying Disney or Universal, I don't know who, but I think an entertainment company out there would love to get their hands on WWE. I think Vince McMahon, listen, let's be realistic here. Vince McMahon, he's what, 77 years old? 10 years from now, he would be 87 years old. I know Vince thinks he's going to live to be 100. But I don't know if Vince is going to live for another 10 years. If Vince passes, where's that majority stock going to go to? Linda? I mean, we don't know what's on his, in his will. Maybe Vince is going to leave it to, you know, to all the pussy that he banged over the last 20 years. We don't know. You know, maybe he donates it to Trump. Maybe he donates it to whatever. Maybe Vince is the ultimate scumbag. Nobody gets my money. Bury it with me. You know, can you imagine, you know, if they buried all his money with him? I mean, how would you even bury that? I mean, it's not like you have physical stock in your den, you know, locked in a safe. I mean, how would that even work? But so if Vince is no longer with us 10 years from now and his stock is, you know, inherited to someone else, you know, what are the chances that Linda, let's say it goes to Linda, what are the chances that Linda is going to remain a majority owner of WWE? You know, so I think WWE, for real, I don't think WWE is looking to sell right now unless somebody grossly overpays for it. But I really believe once Vince is physically no longer on this earth, I really believe that the chances of WWE being sold will skyrocket. In fact, I'll make another prediction. I predict when Vince passes, if he is still majority owner of WWE, I predict that the stock actually tanks a substantial amount. And I know what some of you are saying right now, DT, why would the stock tank? Vince McMahon has no say right now. Vince McMahon is just sitting at home collecting money. You know, he's making extra hundreds of millions because of WWE stock. Vince McMahon has more say than you realize. Someone that owns that much ownership of WWE does not get trolled from Triple H or Stephanie or WWE Magic. Think they call him up. Hey, majority owner. Hey, what do you think if we go this route? Well, shut up. You think they're going to just ignore him? Come on. I mean, you know, look, what he did was disgusting as a man, disgusting as a father, disgusting as a husband, but it was not criminal. People, remember, I told you all earlier this year, people were hoping, praying to God that this was going to turn into criminal. People out there were teasing, oh, no, this is about to go. There's something on the way. There's an indictment coming. We were the only show that went online and said to all of you that the investigation was just about over. Meanwhile, you had people saying, oh, no, a major announcement coming. No, there's something. There's a blockbuster, you know, developing. You know, there's something, you know. No, the investigation's over. You know, he just couldn't keep his you-know-what in his pants. All right, Joe Cronin Show. Did someone say my name? Yes. Much love, Joe. Thank you for the 10 spot. You don't have to do that. But trust me, I don't know how often you are around here, but I'm always showing love for you and your work. Miss you on Twitter, even though I don't tweet much. I mean, I can't stand social media. I mean, I understand social media has its purpose, and I do plug stuff. I let people know and remind people, you know, when shit's going down. But for the most part, I mean, I have posted on Facebook, no joke. Even my personal Facebook, I've posted maybe 3 times in the last 2 years, 3 years. I don't post things on Discord. I just stay away from social media as much as possible. But I hope you're doing well, Joe. Definitely want to have you on again. Seriously. I had fun that night. A lot of people, I mean, the feedback was awesome. So, hey, maybe we could do a menage a trois down the line. Maybe me, you, and JD. Or maybe we could do a four-way, fatal four-way. We bring Jason on as well. So, you know what I like about Joe? And this is not kissing up because he sent me coffee money. Because that will go to coffee tomorrow. I will. Big Starbucks coming. I'm no longer on keto, so I will actually have a little bit of cream in it. No, but seriously, know what I like about Joe? Same reason why I like Jason. Same reason why I'm excited to have JD on and others. They say what they mean. They mean what they say. And they don't hide. They don't stick their tail between their legs. If they have an argument, debate with someone, they don't take it personal. They don't get offended. You know, they stand by their guns. They don't just cower and, you know, and I, look, that's not a shot towards anybody in particular, but I love that. I love when people have a strong viewpoint about something and they stick with it. That's why we were just talking about Mick Foley and Ice-T, not the drink, but the rapper. Ice-T and Mick Foley, I agree with probably 5% of their political views, but I respect the fuck out of all of them because they stand by their shit. You know, and, you know, you respect people like that. You know, some people have some whacked out views, you know, even in wrestling. But, you know, when people stand by their shit and are willing to talk about it, you know, that's, you got to respect that, man. Got to respect that. Always felt that way. Thank you, Joe. Again, Gamer's Block with a 10 spot. Thank you. He has a problem watching AEW going up against, you know, listen, I got, guys, as I read this, think about what I said on Saturday about Quincy Elliott. Let me read what Gamer's Block said first. Something really interesting may go down on Tuesday. Gamer's Block says, I have a problem watching AEW going up a stacked and powerful WWE SmackDown roster with Rampage. Rampage is a show which is just AEW Dark on TV. Does Tony Khan have to reconsider his plans for Rampage? Listen, in my honest opinion, I think, you know, you hear all this buzz that Tony Khan is putting Jericho as Ring of Honor champion and putting all his Ring of Honor stuff on TV to try to get more TV hours so they could put Ring of Honor on TV. Let me explain something to everyone out there. Again, this is not sexy, it's boring, and this is why 99% of the shows out there won't talk about this. Who the fuck is going to run Ring of Honor if they do TV shows, tapings, events, if they get another TV show and they have to have it, you think that people who are being paid to work 2 days a week and an extra day for pay-per-views, you think Tony Khan is going to turn around and say, hey, guys, all right, you know, you normally work Wednesdays and Thursdays, let's say. You know, all right, so now you're going to work Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You think people are going to be like, hey, boss, yeah, it's extra money. The holidays are coming up. Now I can work double overtime. Who do you think is going to run this shit? Think about all the plane fare. What are you going to do? Have 7-hour tapings on Wednesdays? Does anybody stop to think the not only additional expense that's involved? And sure, Tony Khan can handle that. But what about the people who work? What about the production, the camera, the office? What about all the behind-the-scenes stuff? Who the fuck's going to do all that? You mean to tell me you think Colt Cabana and QT Marshall and a whole bunch of others backstage are just like sitting on the sideline saying, gee, I hope they get Ring of Honor TV. Damn, I'd love to work 3 days instead of two. You know, there is so much involved that unless they're going to just add an extra hour or two to TV tapings and make people stay there until 1 a.m., you know, that shit ain't happening. And Tony Khan could love Ring of Honor. If he could be a heterosexual, and if Ring of Honor had penis and testicles, he probably would still think about it. If he was gay, if Ring of Honor had a nice rack and a nice ass, you know, I think he would think about it. If Ring of Honor had a tail and four paws, I think he'd probably think about it. If Ring of Honor was just plastic with a big, I think he'd think about it. If Ring of Honor was just a toilet paper holder, I think he'd think about it. He fucking loves Ring of Honor as much, or if not more, as much as I loved ECW. Look, I spent probably about 45 minutes today trying to figure out where I can hang this shit in my background. You can't see it right now. You can't see me. But I have metal hooks all taped. I have 4 metal hooks taped above where you can see right now, because I was going to hook these divots onto the wall, and it's 3M tape. You put that shit on the wall, that's it. It's there for life. I put 3M tape, and then I realized, oh, fuck, I did it too high. So I put another one. Oh, fuck, I did it too. So now I have 4 metal hooks taped to the wall that now if I try to pull it off, I'm going to have a bullet hole or a softball hole on my wall. I can't even attach that. I loved ECW, but I also understand that it's not for everyone, and it was a very, very small audience at the end of the day. Ring of Honor, Tony Khan, you know, it's like a type of foreign meat, mystery meat, that a majority of people are like, nah, I don't want that. You know, it's not like a filet mignon. It's not like a rack of lamb. It's not like a lobster tail. You know, Ring of Honor is mystery meat. And you'll get a very small group of people like, yeah, I have it. Fuck it. Yeah. Give me, put a little salt. I'll just hold my nose. Mystery meat. He could season it. He could bake it, fry it, saute it. He could stir fry it. He could do whatever he wants to it. It's not going to suddenly become, you know, millions of people out there that want to have it. And he's throwing this shit on TV, and it's turning off a lot of AEW fans. He's doing the same thing that Impact Wrestling fucked up. I don't know if people realize it. Impact Wrestling fucked up their product when they decided to put the heavyweight championship on Kenny Omega for about 9 months or whatever it was, and then put it on Christian Cage afterwards. You know what message that sent to the Impact Wrestling fans out there? Our roster is not worthy to hold our own heavyweight championship. You put the belt on Kenny Omega, you do a storyline for a month or two, and then you lead to this major thing, and Kenny Omega gives a nice rub to somebody in Impact Wrestling, Sami Callihan, Moose, whoever you want to choose. No, they paid this extra money. Basically, Tony Khan paid money, you know, and Kenny Omega held their championship, and Kenny Omega didn't even fucking give the rub to somebody hardcore in Impact Wrestling. No, he gives it to Christian Cage. who is under AEW deal, not Impact Wrestling. That sent a message to Impact that, oh, as far as our current roster, they're not worthy to be heavyweight champion. Look at the ratings before Kenny Omega became champion of Impact Wrestling, and then look at the ratings afterwards. The storyline for about 2 or 3 weeks piqued people's interest. Then after that, people like, what the fuck, man? The fuck? Why are we getting this AEW shit on our shows? Tony Khan is doing the same thing right now. The only difference is he thinks because he's got AEW television, he could sneak Ring of Honor shit on there all the time. You know, this isn't 2005, Ian Riccaboni. You know, you can't snap your feet three times and there's going to be honor. You know, Chris Jericho cheats. Oh, there's a big black cloud over Ring of Honor. You know, this is satisfying Tony Khan. So the bottom line is, you know, Tony Khan, if he's going to have Rampage, just fucking ask the network, look, I want to turn Rampage into Ring of Honor. Dip. I want to turn Rampage into Ring of Honor. That's it. You know, give it its own show. And I think the only reason why they don't do that is because of Ring of Honor's legacy of getting 100,000 viewers, 110,000 viewers, 70,000 viewers, 140,000 viewers. If AEW Rampage now becomes Ring of Honor Rampage, I think they're worried that the ratings will go down under 200,000 viewers. I don't care if Wardlow becomes the Ring of Honor champion. I think that's the only reason why they're not doing that. AEW has 1 million-plus viewers. You turn that into Ring of Honor, you watch how much it dips down. So, Tuesday, we have Rampage versus NXT. I made a little joke on Saturday, and I got 2 DMs over the weekend, and they were from 2 different people that I'm sure talked to each other, but they pretty much said the same thing. DT, you may be onto something more than you realize. I said on Saturday that I want Dynamite on Tuesday and NXT on Tuesday to kick ass in the ratings. I'd love to see over 1 million wrestling fans watching wrestling on Tuesday. But just for shits and giggles, I'd love to see WWE put Quincy Elliott on TV the same time Jericho defends the Ring of Honor championship against Dalton Castle. And I would pop a gasket and laugh my ass off if Quincy Elliott beat Jericho versus Dalton Castle in the ratings. I'm a fan of Quincy Elliott. I went to Florida and saw his NXT debut in person. And why do I root for that guy? Because I talked to a few people that were there live in person, and 2 people were close friends with him. One person in particular. Another one was friends with him also. And they had nothing but beautiful things to say about this guy. All right. Sure, the character might be a little you know, but this is NXT. It's developmental. You throw shit on the wall and you see if it sticks. Somebody one day might be a card dealer in a casino. The next day, they might be a straight-up wrestler. The next day, they might be a construction worker, a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. You know, you play around with NXT. You see what sticks. Look at Wendy Chu. Wendy Chu went from blowing vape in people's faces in the COVID era. Just think about that. She blew vape in people's faces in the COVID era. You blow vape in my face, I punch your ass out. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're a dog, you know, and I'm mistaken. It's cold outside and that's just the breath that you could see. And no, I thought the dog was vaping. Punch right in the fucking face. She's blowing vape in people's faces. Now she sleeps and I love it. Her doing the sleep gimmick is fucking great. That's what happened. You throw shit on the wall, you see what sticks. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to see Quincy. Oh, and Quincy Elliott will be on NXT Tuesday. And somebody said to me, DT, you might be more onto it than you realize. That would be, how epic would that be if he ends up going up against Jericho's match? That would be awesome. That would be awesome. All right. Thank you all for the super chats. I'm going to jet out of here. Hope everybody, I'm only kidding. We're just starting. So, chat room, write question before your question, comment before your comment. If I read yours, wait a few minutes before asking something else so we could spread it around a little bit. Rocky Red with a comment. So how about those Mets and the Dodgers meeting in the NLCS? Listen, you know, since the Mets imploded, let the Dodgers implode as well. This reminds me of 1985. Reminds me of 1985. And there was no wild card in 85. Otherwise, the Mets would have been in. Listen, the Mets imploded. The Dodgers imploded. Now I root for the Yankees. I hope the Yankees win. You know, that goes to show you. You know, I think some people need to resist the temptation of getting rid of some of your prized possessions for tomorrow because you think you're going to load up your roster just for the playoffs. I said it for a very long time. I thought Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer would be the 2022 version of Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson from 2001. Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson are the reason why the Diamondbacks won the 2001 World Series. You get two unbelievable pitchers, and they will pitch their fucking way into the World Series. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. So, you know, it's amazing to see what has happened with the playoffs. But, you know, it also goes to show you that you don't, on paper, have to have the best statistical team to get there. You know, and but I honestly think next year the Mets will be even better than this year. This reminds me of the Mets in 1985. Little too soon. I think you need another year with Buck Showalter. I really believe that the Mets are going to be the favorites next year. I really believe. I think the Mets, if they're not the favorites to win next year, I think they'll be number two. So, yeah, if they lose DeGrom, you know, then it's not the end of the world. But they need DeGrom. I want to see what happens with Aaron Judge. Rob is asking, do I think the Cubs will win the World Series in the next 100 years? Yeah. Cubs are not that bad. You know, the Red Sox, I mean, just think about the futility until the 2000s when they started racking up World Series wins. Now, you know, they have some off years, but, you know, look how many World Series they won. The Cubs will win again. All right, Gruss is asking, do I see Tony Khan building to an AEW versus Ring of Honor show with a merger next year? No, I don't see a merger. Let's put it this way. I thought about it. Could he do a Global Force Wrestling versus Impact Wrestling storyline like they did with Dixie Carter and Jeff Jarrett? Sure, he could do that. But everybody knows Tony Khan owns both. The only way I could see Tony Khan doing that is if his Eric Bischoff character debuts on TV. I've said it. I don't know when it'll happen. Tony Khan, sooner or later, is going to become an on-air character. He will. I think the reason why it has not happened yet, other than the workload, is it would feel too much like Bischoff with the NWO. And if Tony Khan favors Ring of Honor, and because Tony Khan signs the check for everyone that Ring of Honor is taking over AEW, you know, first of all, this isn't the mid-90s anymore or the late 90s. You know, wrestling fans were not smart like they are now. Wrestling fans with the NWO storyline, the NWO storyline would have a tremendous job pulling itself off if it started in 2022. So it is very, 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 very difficult to do. I don't even know if you could pull it off in 2022. So the only way I see something like that is if Tony Khan becomes an on-air character and he reveals that he loves Ring of Honor more than AEW. But the problem is you have to have someone else to represent AEW. Who is that? If Cody stuck around, maybe that could have been a storyline in the future, but I don't see that right now. Yeah, Benjamin says Tony Khan got booed the last time he was on TV. That doesn't matter, because if Tony Khan were to do an invasion storyline, I would think his character would definitely be booed, especially if he took Ring of Honor side. Oh, man, they throw debris in the ring. I think Tony Khan could pull it off as a heel. I really believe that. I think Tony Khan legitimately could pull off a heel character on television. He'd have to be a heel. He'd have to be a heel. Could you imagine the way he acts online? if that became an on-air character, oh my God, you would hear the fans, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Fans would lose their shit, especially if he aligned with MJF. They're hugging each other arm in arm. Could you imagine if he managed Tony Khan? Tony Khan managed MJF? Tony Khan is horrible on the mic. He is, but it's so bad that I think he could pull it off. Matthew Scheffel. Scheffel. Do you, Bret Hart, didn't get injured in WCW by Goldberg? Do I think you, okay. I guess he's saying, do I think if Bret Hart didn't get injured by Goldberg in WCW, do I think he would have gotten, if TNA could have gotten him, if Bret was still bitter about WWE? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think Bret Hart, if he was still able to wrestle, sure. I mean, I remember NWA TNA in 2002. Absolutely, Bret Hart could have appeared. But remember also, there were other little promotions too. You had XWF, you had a few promotions. I don't think Bret Hart would have fit into Wrestlicious. But yeah, Bret Hart, I would have seen. Look, remember Andrew McManus? What was that, World Wrestling All-Stars? I think Bret Hart, didn't Bret Hart appear there? No, it was like a commissioner aside. Bret Hart would have appeared, yeah. I think Dixie Carter would have definitely made an agreement with Bret Hart. In fact, I mean, I think Dixie would have still made a deal with Hulk Hogan, but I think she probably would have made a deal with Bret Hart before Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I really believe that. It's a good question, but I really do believe Bret Hart would have definitely appeared in NWA TNA, even if Vince Russo was there. I mean, I know some wrestlers don't like Vince Russo, but at the end of the day, business is business. Sean KB, did I see the video trending on Twitter from DDT Pro Wrestling? No, I have not seen it. I don't know what that is. I will be more than happy to look after the show is over and then give you my thoughts about it tomorrow, because tomorrow we're doing a show. Here's the little thumbnail preview of it. Bobby Lashley is going to challenge Brock Lesnar for Crown Jewel. Seth Rollins is defending the United States Championship against Matt Riddle. By the way, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but WWE is testing out Seth Rollins as a babyface at the house shows. Told you that was happening. Elias makes his return tomorrow. Gallows and Anderson will be taking on Alpha Academy. The Miz will be taking on Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis will win and get a contract with WWE and a few other things. So that is a little thumbnail preview for tomorrow. But yeah, I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Charlie's asking me, why did I wait so long to get married? Was the ECW reaction louder than 2001 World Series game? No, I don't compare baseball reactions to wrestling. But when I went and Brocious hit that home run in the World Series against the Diamondbacks, against that Japanese pitcher, I can't, Chan Ho Park was someone else. Some Kim, I think his name was Kim. Byung-Young Kim? Oh, wait, is that the dictator? DT, just quit while you're behind. The building got so loud in Yankee Stadium. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this. Have you ever gone to a wrestling event or a game and the noise is so loud that the noise turns into just a ringing sound in your ear? Or if you go to a club and the music is so loud that you don't even hear the music anymore, you just hear like a ringing sound in your ear. That's what it felt like that night when Brocious hit the home run. I don't compare that to Triple H's return. I don't compare that. It's two different feelings. Wrestling and baseball is two different. And why did I wait so long? Financial tragedy, you know, just making sure that everything was in place that we could have, you know, a decent future together. No, it was not Kim Jong-un. Okay. Rob S. is asking, will I be watching Chucky on October 26th? Liv Morgan will be on that episode. I'll check it out. I did see Liv Morgan posted that she's going to be on that Chucky episode. Yeah, I don't mind. You know, I'm always curious to see wrestlers doing stuff outside of wrestling. A lot of you who were not fans of my work 20 years ago, you really missed out on something that I used to do called WrestleVision. If you want a fun, you know, if you want to go check out something I used to do, you'll find it really, really cool. Go on Google. I'm sure the search still brings up results. Type in WrestleVision, WrestleVision, and then type in my real name, Anthony de Blasi. Just type that in. 20 years ago, for about 5 years, I used to post on my website every TV appearance that every wrestler did. And when I say dozens and dozens of appearances a week, it'll blow your mind how much TV had wrestlers on it. Whether it's movie appearances, TV shows, game shows, whatever it was mind-boggling. And, you know, that was something that no one had ever done. I created that, WrestleVision. So I used to love, you know, like late at night, watching a wrestler appear on a TV show I didn't even know they were on, or a movie or something like that. So, yeah, I'll check out Liv Morgan. Why not? I'm not a fan of Chucky anymore. Fuck you. I don't like Chucky. She likes Chucky. She likes the bride of Chucky. She calls me and her the Chucky and the bride of Chucky. I'm not a fan of Chucky. You know, it is funny to see Chucky do what he does on the USA Network. And meanwhile, WWE has to bleep out the word shit. He's like, hey, douchebag, I'm going to kill you, you fucking bitch. Maybe he doesn't say the F word, but they do a lot of cursing. They show a lot of graphic violence on a commercial. And God forbid, MVP say the word shit. Yeah. There you go. There's the censor button. Kevin Milwaukee. How do I stay humble and not jaded when I've seen almost everything wrestling is to offer? He himself thinks about this a lot. I don't get jaded based on what other people do. That question's been asked to me about podcasting. Some people say to me, like, you know, how do I stay humble doing this 26 years now and still getting support? Or the opposite. You know, people saying to me, how do I feel that, you know, other people get bigger numbers? At this point in my life, I do what makes me happy. And I try to do what makes you happy as well. As far as pro wrestling goes, I take the good and I take the bad. It's not the end of the world. I understand a lot of negativity out there interprets to hits. Shit on this, complain about this, clickbait this, lie about this, you know, rinse and repeat, do it over and over again. And that's the recipe to get crazy amounts of hits. Believe me when I tell you, all right, that's a phase. I don't know if that lasts 5 years, but at some point you're starting to see it turn a little bit because wrestlers now are starting to fight back a little bit. Some wrestlers are now starting to call out certain people. And like I said the other day, you know, people out there are very reckless because when you got 60,000, 100,000, 200,000, 500,000, a million followers, what you say matters and it's very important. And when you lie and you clickbait and you exaggerate, you put all this negativity out there just to get hits and revenue, all your followers mimic what you say, most of them. Smaller podcasters that want a piece of what you have are going to copy what you say, and that becomes a dangerous path. And then when tragedy happens, everybody, oh, can we be a little better? And it's the same thing over and over. People will ultimately get tired of it. So as far as wrestling goes, I take the good when I take with the bad. As far as podcasts go, I do my own thing. I try to stay out of people's business. I don't give a shit what other people do, good or bad. You know, I stay out of it. You know, when people, you know, it's funny when people have good things going on, you know, like I don't matter, you don't matter, no one out there matters. But when something negative happens to them, they want everybody to open the floodgates of support for them. You know, it's even in wrestling that happens. You know, there's an old saying that Ric Flair was probably the guiltiest of it. You know, a lot of wrestlers want to say hello when it's time to say goodbye. A lot of people out there don't even give you the time of day. They won't even say hello to you until it's time for them to say goodbye. And then when it's time to say goodbye, now they're accessible. Now they want to say hello. So I stay humble, you know, based on the support that I get. That's enough for me. You know, as long as I have my health, as long as I have my family, as long as I have all of you, as long as we enjoy what we're watching, we could criticize the stuff that Shangata, you know, as long as we're fair about it, it's not controversial. You know, it's easy viewing, easy listening, you know. M-Hawk, do I think DX's return was odd that it didn't have any interruptions or interferences? I think that if they would have budgeted more time, I think we probably would have seen a little bit of interaction. Problem is, X-Pac is probably the only one that could pull off some decent, you know, attack out there. And let's also be honest. The likely person who have probably interrupted him would have been Chad Gable. Shush! Or The Miz or someone else. At the end of the day, do you want, you know, middle-aged guys who, you know, three really can't do anything physical much anymore? Do you want them embarrassing some of your current talent, even if it's lighthearted humor for one night? You know, I didn't like it with guest hosts. I certainly would not have liked it with DX. I just think at the end of the day, you know, it was a fun moment. You know, it's nice to see Triple H, you know, getting out there a little bit more. Shawn Michaels doing his thing. Road Dogg back in wrestling, you know, in WWE where he wanted, and X-Pac looking good. We know what Billy Gunn is doing. So that was more of a feel-good moment. And I was fine with it. At the end of the day, I expected more, but I was fine with what we got. Sunbake says no NWO, no DX. Not so sure about that. Not so sure about that. Because, you know, WWE attitude, you know, let's be honest. If you go back to the NWO days, what the NWO was doing, their antics were much different than what DX was doing. NWO was more about legends. Maybe some people past their prime, gigantic egos trying to take over a wrestling company and dominate all the other wrestlers. Degeneration X, their attitude was more about, hey, let's party, let's get laid. Let's get women to lift their tops. Let's cause antics. Let's fuck with our management. Let's spray paint this. Let's do that. It's a different vibe. It's a different vibe. Plus, DX was not trying to take over WWE. DX was just a group of guys trying to, they're like mosquitoes. D-Generation X were like mosquitoes. You know, just trying to, like, every time you thought that the mosquito was out of your room, and you close your eyes, you hear you. So, nah, DX, I think, was still a formed if NWO didn't form. You got to understand, too, this was Girls Gone Wild. This was Jerry Springer. This was all of those controversial TV shows, Maury and others, you know, Ultimate Fighting. The Girls Gone Wild is a perfect example of it. It was a time and an era where people were more about partying and just excess and just, yeah, it's not nothing. It would still would have generated even if NWO wasn't around. So, okay. Twix is not a fan of DX. That's your right. That is your right. Revel says Billy Gunn's in better shape than all of them. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, understand, and I have episodes to back it up. Was it the second annual Chris Candido Memorial Show? You know, that night, I think, they were still in TNA. That night, Tommy Dreamer was on the show with us. And Tommy Dreamer, who was part of WWE at the time. That's why I laugh when I see people today, like, oh, you know, like WWE is trying to fuck with it, you know, they're not supposed to contact AEW wrestlers to see if they want to work for them. I fucking worked indie shows where you had WWE personnel on the show with TNA wrestlers, and they're just hanging out like, you know, when are you going to come back? You know, when are you going to come back? You know, the conversation always goes on. It goes on at weddings, indie events, you know, parties, gatherings. It happens all the time. There's enough people to actually think that a WWE wrestler that goes to a party with an AEW wrestler and their friends, that the wrestler is like, you know, hey, buddy, shh, shh, no, no. It's so stupid. And I remember that night, Tommy Dreamer, because the New Age Outlaws were still the Voodoo Kin Mafia. And on the indie show, I think that was the night that I became Don Tony officially. Tommy Dreamer went on the mic and said, I just got permission from Vince McMahon. One night only, the New Age Outlaws return. And I think they did a shoot interview that night. And we were commenting at that time, like, how insane Billy Gunn's the shape he's in. We saw Billy Gunn and, you know, NXT doing the training stuff. And it was in Billy Gunn. Let me put it this way. There's never been a time in the last 30 years, I think, that Billy Gunn's been out of shape. If anything, he's like frozen in time. You know, Billy Gunn's always been in his shape. He keeps it. He maintains it. And God bless him, man. God bless him. Enjoy the time that Billy Gunn still has in the ring. Because you don't know. You know, Father Time does catch up, even if he's in incredible shape. You know, a tendon can snap. You know, you could get an injury, and that's it. That's it. That's why, you know, just enjoy it. Don't make it controversial. Just enjoy it. It's awesome to see a part of our history and our entertainment still being able to do that. Being a gym rat is a good thing, but not always. Rick Boogs is a perfect example of that. Okay, let's get some more questions. Again, if you have a question, believe it or not, we're already almost at an hour. So we're going to be wrapping this up soon. So if you have a question, just put, again, capital letters, word question. If you have a comment, just put comment before it. If you super chatted, obviously go to the front of the line. Only fair. Barkun is retired. Barkun, he was on that Vice special not too long ago, The Brawl for All. You know, just watch that episode. It'll give you a good idea. Look, people get old. People just, you know, get out of wrestling, you know, make an appearance here and there. You know, it's just, it happens. It happens to everybody. Kevin Milwaukee, have I seen the viral clips of 75-year-old Bushwhacker Luke still wrestling on the indie scene? I have not watched anything of Bushwhacker Luke still doing it. 75 years old, you know, I mean, if they're going to allow Ric Flair to do it, I'm sure there's an indie event somewhere that, you know, if it's cringe, look, maybe that's his only source of revenue. You know, if that's your entire life, you know, you don't ever want to give it up. Is it really cringe, or is it more cringe that a company actually hires him to do it? You know, I haven't seen it. You know, I don't want the last vision of somebody that I enjoyed in previous years, you know, just doing it embarrassing like that. You know, it is what it is. But I still to this day, like the sheep herders turning into the Bushwhackers, or good guy Bob Backlund turning into what he did in the mid-90s, I still have this debate within my mind, like which one was more shocking? Backlund turning into Mr. Backlund, or the sheep herders turning into the Bushwhackers? I actually think the sheep herders turning into the Bushwhackers was more shocking. Any of you out there that did not grow up a wrestling fan in the 80s, if you do some research about the Bushwhackers when they were the sheep herders, you see how violent and bloody they were. And then they became this, you know, licking kids' heads in the WWE. I mean, say what you want about Vince McMahon, but I don't think anybody other than Vince McMahon would have looked at the sheep herders back then and said, those guys are going to be these fun, loving, yeah, whoa. How do you come up with that? I don't think I could come up with that if I was zooted out on drugs. You look at things like that. I mean, you know, then you got Akeem, the African Dream, which was, you know. Let's see. Trying to spread it around a little bit. Okay, checking out some questions. Loose Cannon. Do I think WWE should have 40-person rumbles again since the rosters are getting bigger? No, because you'll have a lot more stupid eliminations, and you'll have a lot that'll go like this. You're just asking for more caca. You know, I think you leave it at 30. You know, you can have, there's other matches that also air those nights. You have the Women's Royal Rumble, the Men's Royal Rumble. I like the 30. I mean, look, the Royal Rumble is probably my favorite match concept. I love it. You get 30 countdowns, you know, surprise, not all surprises, but you get 30 countdowns. You know, it comes to a point where it gets way too excessive. It's even like tag team matches. You know, I used to love 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches until WWE would always have 2, 3, 4 decisions that happen within 3 minutes of each other. You'll have a 5-on-5. You'll have two people go at it in the ring for like 3 or 4 minutes. Then all of a sudden somebody will get pinned, and 10 seconds later that person will get fruit rolled up, and then someone else will get thrown outside the ring, and they refuse to come in at the count of 10, and they get counted out. And within a 3 or 4 minute span, you're like, wow, half the fucking match, the roster is gone in the match. You have too many people. You're just asking for quick, stupid outcomes, decisions. So I like the 30. I like the 30. Gruss is asking, do I see WWE dropping the Women's Royal Rumble in the future? No, I don't think so. The Royal Rumble gives someone a title shot without having to have a feud first. Sometimes without even having to have any momentum. Somebody could win out of nowhere, return from it. Let's use Becky Lynch, for example. Now, Becky Lynch, obviously, based on her status, her ability, who she is, she should be able to get right into the title picture. But let's say she returns from injury. Sasha Banks. Let's use Sasha Banks, for example. She's been off for quite some time. Now she comes back in time for the Royal Rumble. Like, why would she all of a sudden get opportunities? You know, she has no feud. She has no storyline. She walked out. So you throw in the Royal Rumble at number 30 and she wins the Royal Rumble. Now she gets a WrestleMania title shot. No buildup, no feud, no nothing. So Royal Rumbles serve quite a bit of purpose, and some you don't even realize. So that is a way to give someone an opportunity without having to set something up. KD to WC, shout out to you. Thank you very much. Don't get me wrong, KDWC. I'm always tempted to throw a little clickbait, little teaser, little something out there. But then it's like, you know what? You know, then I violate your trust with me. So I sacrifice it. You know, look at Bo Dallas. You know, there are people out there that are actually trying to, like, tell you, like, Bo Dallas is going to be this. Bo Dallas is going to be that. Bo Dallas is the fucking puppet on the screen. Bo Dallas is going to be a rabbit. Bo Dallas is going to be this. But they all leave out, well, Bo Dallas is also being considered for the WWE office. Why is that left out? Because, oh my God, if he's going to be fucking Mercy the Buzzard or Jack the Beanstalk, you know, oh my God, he's going to be back. You know, so there's always that temptation to throw a little bit there just to get somebody to tune in, but it's not my style. Never was, never will be. I don't see the blue cage coming back. It is nostalgia, but that is an eyesore. I hope Triple H gets rid of the red fucking Elimination Chamber shit or the red cage, just. And thank God we're not getting the red lights anymore with Bray Wyatt. We will get darkened lights. We will get a little bit of a special effect, but that red shit, that was annoying. All right. Bash 8 is asking, what do I think about the lady suing WWE for the Randy Orton tattoos being in video games? My honest take on it, there is a lawyer out there willing to sue anybody for anything at any, it's ridiculous. If you're going to use someone's likeness, you know, if you're going to use something that you did not originate, create, trademark, especially if it's something high profile, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for trouble. Look, I think sometime down the line, Tony Khan will be sued for something that is featured on AEW, which they didn't own any rights. I'm not saying music or anything like that, but, you know, you got to be so freaking careful about it. You know, it's like when they made the cereal box that time. Everybody remember was it cereal? But anybody remember the company that put Hulk Hogan's? It was like Bulk Boulder or something like that. And I'm like, what are you, stupid? And right away, big time lawsuits. I mean, you're just asking for it. Why even put something that looks like Randy Orton's? Why even do that? Even if you think it's cool. You know, logic, you're just asking for trouble. Just asking for trouble. You know, like I said, there's lawyers out there that'll sue. If they think they have any decent case, sometimes people sue just so they could settle out of court. You know, I knew someone that used to accuse places like Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's and others of putting something in the food. I know a woman in particular who claimed that there was a nail inside her hamburger. And she wrote a letter to McDonald's saying that she'd been into her hamburger that had a piece of a nail in it and that she wasn't seriously injured, but, you know, she wanted something in return. And, you know, this is going back to the 90s, but, you know, there are people out there, even if they get $500. I know someone who owned a coffee truck in Howard Beach, Queens, and he had to shut his fucking truck down because somebody claimed that there was it wasn't a screw or a nail, but it was some type of debris, maybe that's the best way to put it, inside a Sausage and Peppers Hero. And he had to go get a lawyer, and he had to defend himself, and he ended up losing. And, you know, he had to shut his car down. And he swears to this day. I mean, I haven't talked to him in quite some time, but he swore up until, he's like, there's no way. There's no way that this could have gotten into that sandwich. People out there to sue for anything. It's foreign object might be the right way to put it. So, let's see. All right. KDWC, do I think the AEW video game will be a success or a flop? I think it'll be a success. Look, you have a good video game, you'll get success, especially a wrestling video game. And WWE, even non-AEW fans, if this video game is good, they'll create their favorite WWE stars. Look at the WWE video game. Immediately when that game came out, people were posting on social media, you know, oh, look, MJF. Oh, look, Kenny Omega. Oh, look, the Young Bucks. Oh, look, I created myself. Oh, look. You know, like people created wrestlers for me in the WWE video game. So one of the fun things that I think people have really gone away from, and some people still do it, is the creator wrestlers. If you go to Wayback Machine, and type in my website, wrestling-news.com. Go back 15 years, look at my website. One of the most popular areas on my website was the Create a Wrestler character gallery for SmackDown Here Comes the Pain. What was that? It's more than 15 years ago. And you could actually still see all the Create a Wrestlers. The links still work. If you go on way back, you see it. I mean, people used to love creating wrestlers. So if that AEW video game, if the gameplay is decent, they'll break the bank. That game will be a success. It's more about the gameplay than anything else. You can create an awesome-looking wrestler. But if the gameplay sucks and the glitches are so annoying that people just get fed up, then you'll have problems. But as long as the gameplay is good, it will be a success. It'll be No Mercy was epic, Mike from New York. No Mercy, you know, yeah, I'm telling you, reminisce back then with those games. Even the WCW video games were decent. What was it, WCW versus the World? That game, I think, was very underappreciated at that time. We even had the WCW NWO video game, which was good. Shit, Raven was on the front box of one of the WCW games. I remember that. SmackDown versus Raw, that was awesome. There was one like the 2009 that I remember too. So the ECW video game, we don't even need to go there. That was big disappointment. I will never forget that ECW video game. I was on a waiting list. Video Game Central got me a copy early, and I fucking ran to the store, picked it up, ran home, threw it in the game. And I was literally trying to brainwash myself that this game was awesome. And it was horrendous. It's horrendous. It was fucking awful. And I was still trying to love it because of my fandomhood for ECW, but it was beyond awful. The Legends of Wrestling video game, I thought, was better than the ECW game. Garth says he's got bad news for G4 Gaming Company. G4 is shutting down. What's my opinion about it? I'm not into video games like I used to. G4 obviously is huge. But my honest take on it is, you know, over the years we've seen companies close down in all facets, not just video games. And, you know, in this day and age with technology being as developed as it is, G4 may shut down, someone else is going to launch up. So, you know, that's one thing. I mean, look, if something is out of touch, outdated, that is really lost, it's not necessary anymore, and it's really lost its case to be around, you don't ever want to break up. Look at WWE with DVDs. We talked about that last year. That was an end of an era. I put that as the title of my show that night, End of an Era. WWE stopped doing DVDs and Blu-rays. That was a legit end of an era. You know, having DVDs, Blu-rays, having your collection, and WWE stopping that? Because we're now in the digital age, in the streaming media age. So the point is that if G4, if it's not outdated, then someone else will come along. So, you know, YouTube has replaced G4. Sure, absolutely, Benjamin. But that's why I say, you know, there'll always be somebody to replace. You know, even if there's a form of streaming media, if a form of streaming media shuts down and you absolutely loved it, or even a social network or even a platform, there'll always be another one to pick up from it. Look, I still have a subscription for SoulSeek. SoulSeek.tk. If anybody wants to go check it out. It's an underground file sharing service that DJs over the years, music collectors, would exchange music. And it still works, and it's still there. But even 10 years ago, I'd go on there every week, and I would exchange white labels and versions of songs that no one would have. You would mingle with people from Italy, the UK, Australia, you know, Japan, and you would exchange, you'd trade music. Remember Napster and stuff like that? But as time goes by, you know, it's just, it became out of touch. You know, you could still sign up there and you could still exchange music, but it's not like you type in a song or a version of something and the search results might only come up with 3 hits instead of 300 hits maybe 10 years ago. So Sean says, AEW did not wish Kenny Omega a happy birthday on social media. Probably did it private. Yeah, they probably did it private. They could still do it. You know, I mean, there is some legalese going on right now with Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, CM Punk, and others. Remember what I talked about last Wednesday? No shows are still not talking about that aspect of it. You know, people trying to convince you that the outside investigation is about the actual fight that night. That's not the case. The actual investigation, it's not even an investigation. It's more of how do we handle this legally, contractually? So I don't even think the word investigation is the right word. You know, trying to deal with something, you know, that's not investigation. Like if somebody, look, I have right now for these shows, I have insurance that if I ever, let's say, really hurt someone personally, hurt their livelihood, you know, just said something really, really awful. I claim somebody did something awful and they lose dramatic numbers of subscribers or just saying, and it ends up that what I said was not true. And that person went after me to try to sue me for slander. I have insurance for that. I had to go out and buy insurance when Blue Wire and Pro Wrestling TV approached me about being on the network. I had to go out and get insurance. My point is that if somebody tried to sue me right now, claiming that I hurt their livelihood because I accused them of this, and I, let's say Chase and Rance, you know, it's amazing how many people had no problem with Chase and Rance becoming the tag team champion with a 12-year-old or 14-year-old, however old that girl was, 15-year-old. Now, let's say, you know, I made all these accusations about him, and it wasn't true, and he tried to sue me. Right now, I send it to the insurance company. You handle it. Now, let's say I didn't have that insurance. Now I have to get a lawyer, figure out how do we handle this. Is that an investigation? No, it's not an investigation. It's discovery. It's the lawyer trying to figure out how do we handle this. That's not investigation. So what Tony Khan is doing is not an investigation. There is no Inspector Gadget trying to find out who hit the door and who punched who and who started this and who said this first. No. What's going on is they're trying to figure out how do they deal with this. Yeah, nobody talks about that. Because it's boring, guys. Sooner or later, the truth will come out. And you know, we'll get no credit for it, but that's all right. You know, as long as you know where you heard it from, that's all that matters to me. There have been lawsuits with YouTubers, absolutely. There's lawsuits with podcasters. You know, there's more than you would be. You'd be surprised how many. You just got to be careful. You really got to be careful sometimes. You don't want to get yourself in legal trouble. Especially if you have a deal, you know, like I didn't have to get the insurance that I did. It wasn't a requirement, but I chose to do it because I'm very careful what I say and I do my research before I throw things out there. But, you know, I did it to protect myself. This way, God forbid, if anybody ever tried to sue me for something like that, I have protection. So, all right. Let's wrap this up in about 10 minutes. We're at 78 minutes already. Benjamin is asking, will Bray feud with himself leading to Wyndham facing a double in a Mr. Howdy match like Kane versus Fake Kane? No. I talked about this in pretty good detail on Saturday, that Bray Wyatt's feud right now will be within himself. The Wyatt Six is not six puppets that are going to be played by Grayson Waller and Joe Gacy and Alexa Bliss or Liv Morgan and whatever else, or Bo Dallas. The Wyatt Six are the six shades of Bray, his six personalities. And he is going to be at conflict with himself. Basically, what's going on inside his head is shown to you on the Titantron. Who is that guy? And I'm sorry if this is cruel. Who is that guy that was in the wheelchair, who passed away recently, that couldn't move, but he would be like this? And somehow he was able to tell you what's on his mind. That he, and it's beyond impressive. Who is the guy? Stephen Hawkins? Is that him? Iman Perry? If any of you out there never saw Stephen Hawkins, Google him. I mean this sincerely. I was blown away with what I saw. I was in shock. And I'm sorry for doing it like this. The only way I could describe it. If I would have been like, who's the guy in the wheelchair that can't move? Somebody would have said, Joey 924. No. But it's mind-blowing what that guy was able to do. Bray Wyatt, we're seeing what's going on inside his head on the Titantron. It's not rocket science. I mean, people are dragging this out about Wyatt 6 and Bo Dallas that and Liv Morgan this and, oh my God, Liv, she snapped because the logo was in the background and she saw the logo and she decided she was going to kill Sonya Deville. Shut up. They got to drag this out for hits and views. It's not rocket science. Bray Wyatt is battling his inner demons. He's trying to be a better person. He's trying to be, you know, a good person. And the demons keep dragging him in. They keep telling him what this. That's why if you look at the screen, it's not somebody just sitting there cutting a promo. It's scattered with TV. It looks like computer image. There's almost like Max Headroom-like, which we've talked about before. We're seeing what's going on in his head. So Bray Wyatt is not going to fight himself in the ring. Could we see, you know, characters come into life? Sure. Why not? Why not? You might see something and the lights go out and then come back on and the thing is gone. And it was just a figment of Bray Wyatt's imagination. So let's see where it goes. But right now, Bray Wyatt is feuding with his inner demon. And the interesting thing about it is none of this has to do with wrestling. Let's go a month, and then we'll look back at the month, and we'll say, okay, what wrestling storyline has happened? Every time Bray goes out there and wants to do something good, you know, like just be Wyndham. And then the voices, almost like the voices in his head, are trying to take over. Let's see a month from now. Let's see what wrestling aspect of it ended up. You know, sooner or later, it's got to turn into wrestling. How does this happen? How does this happen? Okay. Somebody in the back might interact with Bray. And Bray's evil side, Uncle Howdy, takes over. Bray beats the balls out of someone and almost feels awful about it. Doesn't understand why he's doing it, is trying not to do it. We got to see if Uncle Harper ends up being the catalyst to go up against Uncle Howdy. It may end up being Uncle Harper versus Uncle Howdy. Tune into my Saturday show if you didn't hear what that was all about. I guarantee you no one else is talking about that right now because everybody is trying to get hits based on Bo Dallas and Grayson Waller and Joe Gacy and, you know, all these costumes are actually going to wrestle, which makes absolutely no sense. Okay, somebody comes out dressed as Huskus the Pig. Are they going to wrestle as Huskus the Pig? No, when they get to the ringside, then they'll take the pig outfit off. And then are they going to look like Huskus the Pig? Are they going to smell like Huskus the Pig? Are they going to wink? You know, like, why would they be Huskus the Pig? Like, okay, they took the outfit off. What are they? Just, you dissect it and you're like, please, give me whatever you're smoking. Please, give me. There's got to be some strange chemical in it. Whatever you're having, please give it to me. It makes no sense. Makes no sense. Yes, if everybody's having a good time, take a moment, DDT that like button. It would be very much appreciated. When I see the likes less than the number of people who are tuning in, it kind of hurts me. It kind of hurts me. And it doesn't cost anything either. Let's see that jump up. Let's see those likes exceed the number of viewers. And no, not by viewers on, you know, turning it off. So If 100 of you disconnect from the show right now, yeah, we'll have more likes, but that's not what I want. We're going to wrap this up in a few minutes, everyone. All right. Yes, Wombology, Bray Wyatt's theme has grown on me. I think the group's name is Code Orange. I think the name of the song is called Shatter. I don't have it in front of me, but I have it set for tomorrow's show. I'm pretty sure the name of the song is called Shatter. It's performed by Code Orange, who also performed Let Me In. So that might be news for all of you out there if you're not aware of it already. When I listened to the theme a few times since Friday, the beginning, it kind of, I don't know how I felt about the very beginning. Towards the middle of the song, I get into it. So that song is going to have to be altered a little bit. It's going to be altered to sync his slow walk, his methodical walk to the ring. But when they tweak that song enough, that song is going to be fire. I'm telling you, it is great, great music. That's a song that you could enjoy and, you know, not be embarrassed by it. I mean, back in the 80s, you know, we would crank Demolition's song, like, outside at the park. And once in a while, you get somebody, like, yeah, Demolition. And then sometimes you would crank other wrestling music, and you'd be, like trying to hide. You'd be a little bit embarrassed. I know you want me. I never cranked that. I'm not going to watch Halloween Ends, Tim Keel. Shout out to you, Tim, by the way. This is my honest opinion. I loved Halloween 1. That's how old I am. I saw it in the movies. I loved Halloween 2 is my favorite Halloween of all time. Halloween 3 was horrendous. I remember going to Halloween 3. I remember people booing the fuck out of that movie when the movie ended. It was awful. But, you know, as the years go by, you know, and I know this is going to sound stupid, but I'm just telling you as a 50-something-year-old guy who saw Halloween 1 in the movie theaters, you'd be surprised when that tombstone was on that woman's bed on Halloween 1 in 1978 or whatever it was, you'd be surprised how creepy it scared people in the movie theater. I still remember people, like, grabbing people. We were like, you know, like, you freaked out. I personally think, this is my honest opinion, I understand technology and sci-fi and computer graphics, you know, and how much horror films have progressed over the years. I mean, it's amazing what you could do graphically. But for me, just in itself, if you couldn't fucking kill Michael Myers after 20 years, or you couldn't fucking kill Jamie Lee Curtis after 20 years, to me, that's futility. So now we're 43 years later, and Michael Myers and Jamie Lee, they're like the two, that's epic failure. That is epic fail, in my honest opinion. Like, they both deserve each other. Seriously, they should end up getting married, having children, and letting out little pumpkins. Like, how the fuck do you feud with somebody for 43 years and not win the war? Like, after a while, it's like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I look at Michael Myers and I laugh. I'm like, you obviously ain't doing it right. And Jamie Lee Curtis, my God, move to fucking Florida. Get out of Haddonfield. I don't even know if they still do it in Haddonfield. Get out of there. You know, go somewhere else. You know, if you're scared about this guy, go fucking live on a fucking farm. Go live on a resort. You know, it's, to me, it's like an epic fail. 43 years? You know, at least with, like, Family Guy or The Simpsons, after 20 years, they still the same age. Beavis and Butthead, before they came out with the movie, you still thought it was 1993, even if it's 20 years later. They still act like they haven't aged. To me, it's futility. Sorry. That's why even Freddy Krueger, you know, sooner or later, we're going to start getting more remakes of Nightmare on Elm Street. We're going to get more remakes of shit from yesteryear because they want to put today's spin and technology on it. Plus, it's easier to copy something that was successful from yesteryear. But to me, Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis, 43 years later, You know, trust me. If I went to Haddonfield right now, I guarantee you, I get a couple of crackheads from the Bronx like, hey, see this picture of this guy wearing this mask? You see this girl with an outdated haircut? Whack him. Here's 20 bucks, and I'll get you some Taco Bell afterwards. I guarantee you, I get a couple of crackheads from Spanish Harlem. Come with me to Haddonfield. I guarantee you they take out Michael Myers. And you know what they'll do? They'll chop him in 900 pieces. So there's no way that he could come back. Hey, let's see how you feel now. They throw him through the chop meat machine. They'll even pack him up and sell him. $5 a pound, Michael Myers, ground beef. You want it mixed with lamb and pork so you can make meatballs on Sunday? That's how you get rid of Michael Myers. You throw him through the chop meat machine. You microwave him. So 43 years, I'm supposed to give a shit. Halloween ends. I don't know. That's my honest opinion about the Halloween movies. You know, once you get to like the 90s and they're still around, it's like, all right, enough, please. You know, to me, that's epic fail, in my honest opinion. Jamie Lee was crying about Kanye West last week. No idea. Why did Kanye West say the movie sucked? I don't mind the creativity. You know, if you want to try to make something better and you succeeded it, by all means. I'll give you a horrible example of it. The Naked Gun. Police Squad! I watched it the other day. When I need a good pick-me-up, I'll watch Naked Gun. You know, a lot of people don't realize that the Leslie Nielsen movie, The Naked Gun, that was a TV series around 1980. It was a TV series, and they turned it into a movie. Sometimes we have had something recreated, and it's better than the original. But when you get, like, Rob Zombie trying to recreate the Munsters, did you see this? I'd rather jump into a bathtub with a whole bunch of appliances plugged in my outlets than watch that. What the fuck is that? You look at that movie, if you know anything about the Munsters or the original, even the Munsters today. Remember the Munsters today that came out in the 90s? This is beyond awful. Why would you even make something like that? It is beyond awful. Why would I even waste my time watching that? It's horrendous what they did. So, all right. We'll jet in about 3 minutes. Definitely would like to end this with a wrestling topic. Yes, I am serious. Surely I must be serious. I haven't watched the new Quantum Leap yet. You know something? I never liked Quantum Leap when it came out. When the new one came out, I watched some reruns of the ones from the 80s. That's not a bad show to recreate. That is not a bad show because the concept is not out of date. Going into history and trying to change some, you know, disaster, not necessarily disasters. It's usually like, oh, somebody fell. Somebody got hurt. Let's try to change history. Notice how Quantum Leap doesn't try to like prevent like Osama bin Laden or, you know, like something major. It's always like, oh, this person had, you know, was going to be killed by this person, you know, and they like interfere, you know, but the concept is not outdated. So that's actually a decent show to recreate. All right. Leslie Nielsen was awesome. Even The Undertaker. Remember when Undertaker feuded with Brian Lee, the Underfaker? You know, a lot of people forget the skits where Leslie Nielsen was trying to, you know, find The Undertaker. Anybody remember that? That was awesome, man. Those skits that WWE did with Leslie Nielsen are very underrated. You know, for Naked Gun, airplane-type humor, they were much better than I think people realize. You should go revisit that. And if any of you out there never saw that, look up Leslie Nielsen, Undertaker. I promise you, you will come back here next week and say, DT, thank you for letting me know about this. they are very much underappreciated. All right. How do I feel about Moxley versus Hangman for Tuesday's Dynamite? I don't think anything's going to come out of it. Moxley's going to retain. MJF might tease cashing in the chip, but you know, they got a pay-per-view coming up in November. They're not going to, as much as Tony Khan likes to pop ratings, you have a pay-per-view, a very important pay-per-view, especially with Punk on the shelf. You know, forget about what happened in the locker room. You know, it's Moxley's not losing the title. So Hangman Page, you know, maybe he turns heel out of all of this because he will let the fans down and he will lose. If MJF gets involved, it's just going to continue the storyline. When we leave Dynamite, Moxley will still be champion. There's no way you go into full gear with anybody else's champion. And listen, it's going to be interesting because a lot of the fans are chanting for MJF. But, you know, Tony Khan wants Moxley to be the centerpiece of AEW. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic going forward. So Soulfly is asking, do I see the AEW and NXT ratings being closer than people expect Tuesday? I will tell you on Monday what I think the ratings may seriously be. I haven't stopped and really thought about it yet. The reason why the answer to your question is very, very difficult is this. I don't know what people are expecting. Because you say to me, do I think it's going to be closer to what people expect? Well, what are people expecting? You know, like, I can't guess what the average person thinks the ratings are going to be. I think the ratings will be within 300,000 of each other. By tomorrow, Monday show, I might even be closer than that. Do I think, spur of the moment, do I think AEW beats NXT? I think it's going to be awfully close. I think it'll be less than 300,000. But, you know, right now, like I said, I don't know what the average person is thinking. I don't know what Meltzer is thinking. I don't know what Fightful is thinking. I don't know what people are thinking out there. So I can't tell you. I can only tell you what I'm thinking. And, you know, to be continued. But I don't, let me put it this way. Do I think NXT beats them tomorrow? No. Tuesday, I don't think they beat them. The reason why I don't think so is, although Raquel Rodriguez, she might take on Dakota Kai, so far our predictions have been 100% right. But is that really going to get some big ratings? No. Is Sonya Deville versus Alba Fire, is that going to break down the ratings? No. We don't know who Tony D'Angelo is going to bring out yet. We'll see if it's Omos or somebody else. Is that going to kill the ratings? No. There's nobody that they have announced from the main roster that could spark crazy amount of ratings. You know, you're not getting a Sasha Banks. You're not getting, as far as I know, we're not getting a Riddle. We might get LA Knight. We might get Hit Row. But none of those are going to target huge ratings. So as of right now, I expect AEW Dynamite to win Tuesday night's ratings. But I have to think about as far as by how much. Jay Carlos, why do I like ECW so much? I couldn't give you a very, very quick answer, but the concept is why I liked it so much. It felt more realistic. I'll answer that two ways, then we're going to get out of here. Number one, when I started my hotline in 1997, there's an infamous poll that I did once. Wow, I didn't realize it. We went the whole show without the graphic. I just realized that. We did the whole show without the graphic. Was that weird? I'm serious. What do you all think? You know, on the comment section, tell me the truth. I don't mind either way. Did you like it? Do you like it with the logo like this? Or do you like it without the logo? So I just realized that. I looked over and I'm like, wait a minute, where's my logo? So I didn't even notice it, right? All right. It's not even a template. Well, it is template, but that's a template. That's a knife. All right, two things about ECW. Number one, the realism. In 1997, I did a poll on my hotline that is infamous. I ended up quickly becoming the number one wrestling hotline in the United States. That's not me bragging. That's just a fact. Back in 1997, in late 97, I asked everybody who tuned into the hotline, do you think that there's aspects of ECW that's real? Do you think that any of it is shoot? And if I remember correctly, it was almost 80% of the people that tuned in believed that some of what we saw on TV was real. Some of the fighting, some of the story, some of it was legit. That's how realistic ECW was portrayed by some people out there. When you had Raven and Tommy Dreamer fighting in a bar, you'd be shocked how many people thought that was real. When you saw, I mean, look, Born to Be Wired, you saw what went down there. People believed that some of that shit was real, that, you know, that they really tried to kill each other that night. I know looking back on it now, it's a little bit ridiculous, but understand 1997, internet still in its preteen days, and 80% of everybody who tuned into my hotline believed that there were aspects of ECW that was real. Paul Heyman covered that on the, I think, ECW One Night Stand. No, not One Night Stand, the Rise and Fall of ECW. That DVD, I remember Paul Heyman saying that, you know, people used to think that parts of it was real. So the realistic part was one thing, but the concept was even bigger for me, that whether you performed in front of 1,000 fans or 100 fans, you gave 1,000%. Every wrestler, I went to ECW shows that had 50 people there, and I went to ECW shows that had over 2,000. And it didn't matter how many people were there, every wrestler worked their ass off. I mean, they just put it out there. Plus, you know, being able to work a little bit, pushing tickets for them, because I worked for them for the last year, pushing tickets through my hotline, and got to become friendly with a few people there. You know, that was awesome too, but ECW was about ethic, work, you know, give the people 100%. Paul Heyman was inspirational to all the wrestlers there. Fans bought into it as well. You will not find a more loyal fan base to this day other than ECW. AEW's fan base is pretty rabid. I will give them that, but it's still nowhere near what the fan base was in ECW. The ECW fan base was better, and I've always brought this up the last couple of years, because back in the day with ECW, when I, from Queens, New York, went to the ECW arena for the first time to watch ECW, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, you would hear like, New York, Philly, you know, Giants, Eagles, you know, they don't get along, Jets, Eagles. And we went in there and, you know, we were a little bit conservative about it. But once some people in that building found out that we were from New York, you know, they didn't like, you know, oh, look, these fucking New Yorkers, these greaseballs. What are they doing fucking in Philly? Stay in New York. Go fucking hang out in the Elks Lodge. No, they were like, hey, man, you know, good to have you here. You know, everybody welcomed everybody. As long as you were not a dick, if you supported that product, everybody appreciated you. Everybody. And that's something that no company has been able to replicate. You know, plus, you know, the diversity is a lot of reasons, but the work ethic and the commitment, you know, that is something that went over and above. So, but you had to live through it. You had to live through it to really understand it. That's why some people in wrestling today still hold it so dearly to their heart. It wasn't just ridiculous, unnecessary violence all the time. It was much more than that. So, all right. I haven't checked out Raven's Impact Hall of Fame induction yet. I'm definitely interested to see that. Raven is a very hard subject for me to talk about in 2022. I don't want to get controversial right now, but I will say this without getting deep into it. I witnessed up close and personal what Raven did on the indie circuit, besides ECW. And I will still say that Raven is probably the most successful indie wrestler in history, because Raven was able to do so little and get so much out of it. I watched Raven bank thousands of dollars at an indie show and have a 10-minute Gaga match with Al Snow. Raven did not have to, you know, kill his body. Sometimes he wanted to. Sometimes he got paid extra to do it. But overall, the gimmicks that he sold and the amount of money he would make on the shows, he is the most successful indie guy of all time. But there are things outside of wrestling that I know that he is not proud of. And there is one particular story that there is a certain female out there in wrestling. I mentioned her name recently. I'm not going to say who it is here. But I know there is a particular night involving Raven that she definitely knows about. And she probably wants to know more. And I was there, witnessed it up close and personal. And, you know, it's a side of wrestling that's kind of like, eh, you know, just it puts things in perspective, you know, like how the wrestling road life is. And, you know, it's just something that you see, you know. And look, I've been to many, many wrestling shows. We joked about people running up and down hallways in hotel rooms naked, walking by to pick up a check from Rob Black, pick up some cash, and some hotel room door is open and you look inside and there's this girl that wants to be part of XPW in Philly, and she's stark naked laying on a bed with the door wide open. You've seen some wild stuff. You know, you've seen some wacky stuff as well, and I saw a lot of good stuff. But there's one particular moment that I saw, nothing criminal. I don't want anybody to think anything like that, but it's the side that you really, you know, you hear about, but you don't want to like witness yourself. So, yeah, it's definitely something. That's why, like, you know, when it comes to Raven, most successful person out there, indie history. Other things as well, I'm sure, looking back on, he's probably not too thrilled about. So, but it is what it is. So, I'll leave everybody with one last one. Ariane, no. New Japan is not having a working relationship with WWE. WWE is allowing, we talked about this two shows already. Carl Anderson is being allowed to fulfill his commitment as never open weight championship with New Japan. But as far as having talent exchanges and this and that, if that were to even be hinted at, as I said last week twice, Tony Khan will be all over that on social media. Look at the press release that he wrote about signing John Moxley to a 5-year deal. He specifically name drops New Japan that John Moxley will be working just AEW and working partners with AEW, and they name drops New Japan. That's not about Moxley working New Japan. That's more about name dropping the relationship they have with New Japan. So, you know, could a wrestler show up in New Japan down the line? Sure, why not? Maybe WWE says, look, you know, in the future we'll send somebody down to work in New Japan show. Why not? Nothing wrong with that. But as far as having like a working relate, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. And there's nothing to even insinuate that. Anybody that is teasing that is clickbaiting you, because there is nobody in WWE management or New Japan management that has even teased that to anybody out there. So anybody that's even trying to tease that to you is clickbaiting you. No one knows. But in my opinion, there's no working relationship. Just like there was none when Mickie James showed up at the Women's Royal Rumble. Hate to say it, but it is true. You know, at the end of the day, WWE don't need Impact Wrestling. WWE don't need New Japan. WWE don't need these outside companies. You know, even if it just feels right, they should. have a working relationship. Do they? Should they? Do they have to? Why do they have to? Because it makes you feel good. So, you know, WWE does where they think they can maximize their business. It's a business, period. All right, everyone, I'm out of here. If you are going to be around Monday night after Raw, join me. Again, this is my little thumbnail preview for the 17th episode of Raw. Don't forget, it's coming up quicker than you realize. Thursday, November 3rd, JD from New York will be here at 8:05 p.m. We will be discussing whatever is going on at pro wrestling at that time. We will discuss Crown Jewel, which would happen 2 days after this episode. We will pick a few of your previously submitted questions, which we will answer live on the show. We will be taking chat room questions, super chats. We will be doing it. I'm sure we will have some interesting debates as well. JD is currently, I think, overseas in, I think, Ireland. I think he might be in Ireland right now enjoying. I know he's with family. I hope he's having a good time. So big shout out to him. Big shout out to all of you who continue to frequent the shows here. If you know anyone out there you think may like the content, let them know about it. And that's it. You know, patreon.com/DonTony. If you still need a little bit more, there's quite a bit that you could get over there. And it's like 5 years of Patreon content just sitting there waiting to be enjoyed, plus all the current stuff that we do. So I hope to see you all tomorrow night after Raw. And if not, then maybe next Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday. We got the Q&A. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. Much love, everyone. I'm going to get this show online. Spend the rest of my 10-year anniversary with my better half inside. And I wish you all nothing but happiness, good health, stay safe, and I'll see you all again soon. And hit that like button on the way out.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.